Love, positivity, pop. Jordan Andrew Jefferson's newest release reflects his effervescent soul. And that's why we sat down with the Huntington Pop Rocker to talk about his music, his experiences playing tunes in and around West Virginia, and his love for all things Beach Boys. Who are you, and what do you do?
Well, who I am is, who I want to be is the spirit of love, you know, and when that's not present, then there's work that needs to be done. And I try to express that love in a way that is most easiest to me, and that's through music, through singing, through songwriting, and through performing. I love pop music. It saved my life. And, you know, so I write soft rock, and I hang out, and I try to smile, and I try to trust, and I enjoy it.
So how did you get started in music then?
Well, I don't think I got started in music in a way that, not to sound confusing, but I don't think I chose music, you know? As far as I can remember from an early age, I was writing. I found boxes of lyrics that were written in my sloppy 7-year-old handwriting. I remember, you know, I had a tape recorder, and I remember just filling up tapes and tapes and tapes of a cappella songs that were structured, you know, verse and chorus. And then I started taking piano lessons. I got kicked out of those, however, when they realized I wasn't really reading the music, but I was just observing what the teacher would play. And I'd go home and just try to my best to play it how I saw her play it. And they realized, well, there's no sense in paying for piano lessons if he's just going to figure this out. So I don't know. I don't think I ever really got started. It's just as long as I've been alive, music has been reaching out to me, and it's been pulling me closer and closer and closer to this to this very moment, and I love it. I wouldn't want to do anything else, and I never will.
Did your parents, were they into music, or were they musicians, and did they play around you when you were growing up?
Yeah, that's another thing that I know it just had to be, because, my mom played piano a little bit, but not so much in the, you know, rock and roll kind of way, but they did have an extensive record collection that they would play. You know, I'd be in the back seat riding along. You know, my dad made mixtapes for mom. You know, at home or in the car, it was always David Crosby and a lot of just, my dad and I bonded over, you know, 60s psychedelic rock. And mom and I bonded over things like the Bee Gees. And it was around me. You know, so that's, I'm very fortunate to have been exposed to a lot of what I call wonderful music so early on.
So you were kind of raised on the kind of music that you're listening to right now, that kind of sunshine, pop, 60s, soft rock pop.
I think so. The sunshine element and the really let's learn about pop music, I think, was something that I discovered. You know, my dad's more of a Bob Dylan, more of a, you know, let's change the world. And that's a beautiful thing. I don't know. I think the way I'm going to change the world is just by hanging out and doing the best I can do. And, so I write pop songs. I don't know. I think there's a bit to what I learned from hanging around my folks. But I think truly what changed most of all was when I heard the Beach Boys for the first time. I was 17 riding in my dad's car, and we had the radio, and we used to play a game. Who could name the song on the oldies station the fastest? And it's funny because it was, at that age, I was so 50-50. I was so into it. It's like my other friends were talking about their favorite bands they're going to go see. And I was like, well, I can't. My favorite bands are dead or dying or they're, you know. And it's kind of sad, but it's so, it's so beautiful that I can just hang out and bond with my folks over that. But where it really hit home for me and made it personal and began this intense searching and discovery and wanting to learn everything I could about pop music and song structure was the Beach Boys, when I heard God Only Knows by the Beach Boys. And then I went out and, you know, there I was, 17, and I just bought their catalog, and I spent my early 20s just alone and never lonely.
That's sweet and sad all at the same time. But that's kind of their music too. It's kind of like sweet depression, but in a way that's still there for you. It's still going to wrap you up in a blanket of comfort.
Yeah, it is. You know, there's a lot of not only vocal harmony, but they're known for a lot. You know, but to me, you know, they're known for a lot of ups and downs and trials and tribulations. But again, what human being hasn't in their own life experienced trials? And so for me, I don't look at them like iconic so much as I do as like friends. You know, it's like I don't hold them to any great pedestal that is unreachable, because to me their music is just life. And I don't care if they fight. I don't care if they get back together. I don't care. You know, all I know is that when I listen to it, I feel great. I feel peaceful, and I'm ready to, you know, start writing my own music that I think is influenced by them, but will build upon my own experiences and my own just expressions of love. But the Beach Boys really kicked it off for me.
So I'm curious, your fans, like the people that are, you know, very interested in your music, will follow you to all the shows around Huntington and elsewhere. Do you think that they're also interested in that type of music? Do you think they're familiar with the kind of 60s music scene? Or are you kind of the gateway for them to look further into that?
Well, I've been very blessed to have, you know, a lot of people interested in what I do. And I think it's fun because it spans just about every age group that I could imagine. So, you know, I'll catch young kids at my shows say, I've never heard anything like this, and there's a lot of music like this around town. And I'm like, that's wonderful, thanks. And then I hear, you know, I'll be at a show and I'll decide to go into a McCartney cover. And, you know, I catch the older couple hanging out in the back perk up, and they smile. And even hearing some, I was playing in Charleston, and a man said that made him cry by covering Badfinger. And that's cool, because I've cried a lot listening to Badfinger. And, you know, so it kind of, you know, it. I have a lot of age groups that listen to my music. And that's the good thing about, I think about what I do, it's very accessible.
It's multi-generational, I guess, because it's for those that are, that grew up with that kind of music and they haven't heard it for a while. And then the ones that, you know, are maybe new to this kind of music and are looking for something a little bit softer, a little bit more heartfelt than what they're hearing on radio. It's, you know, somewhere between a pop song, but also a kind of acoustic, folky rock thing.
Yeah, I suppose so. One of my favorite songwriters, Burt Bacharach, said, never be ashamed of writing a melody that people can remember. And, you know, I'm not saying that soft psychedelic pop music is the only way to do that. A lot of my friends around town are in wonderful bands, write some really catchy stuff. And, you know, I just, I don't know, but for me, pop music, it doesn't have to be top 40, but you don't have to run away from top 40. You just have to follow your heart. And for me, it just involves this is what I'm doing. I'm not running away from anything. I'm not trying to be different than anything. I'm just doing what I know how to do. And it's as simple as that. It's the easiest thing I could ever do.
If you weren't a musician, you know, part-time, I'm not sure what you'd call your musicianship in terms of like your life and scheduling, but if you weren't a rocker, a singer, songwriter, what would you be doing?
I don't even know. Okay, I know, and listen, the first thing I want to say is I don't know how to answer that, but that's such a, well, because it's happening the way it's happening. However, let's go to a dream world where things like that are possible. And I don't know, maybe I'd be a captain on a boat. I feel like water means a great deal to me. I always have to be near water. And when I'm around water, I just feel inspired. And so perhaps I would just be, a captain, a pirate, just a sailor with no direction, but peacefully sailing. And or maybe, here's a great one. What I'd love to do also is to harvest coconuts and habanero peppers.
That's pretty cool. You mean, like, would that be, like, a duo thing? Like, it'd be both of them combined? Or is that, like, two separate businesses that you're running?
It could be both. It could be one or the other. I think that's a far more, like, logical. Like, that's more, if we're going to talk, like, monetary. I don't think you're going to make much money just traveling with no one but your boat and the wind. I don't think that's very feasible for making a living. But if you have what you need, I guess you'd be all right. However, if we're talking about if I were a musician and I needed to buy some bread, then I'd probably harvest coconut and habanero peppers.
Hmm. Well, you know, I really like the taste of cranberries with wasabi, and so that's that kind of like hot and fruity mixture. So I could kind of get behind the whole coconut habanero together, like in a pack.
I love coconut water and rum.
Hmm.
It's my thing. I really do. And I could put habanero peppers in anything. So, yeah, that's great.
What would you say is the official symbolic drink for your music?
Oh, coconut water and rum. There's no doubt about it. That's what I drank when making the record. The record would have been finished a lot sooner if I hadn't been drinking it. But it certainly wouldn't have sounded the way it did.
Well, I think it sounds like it fits. I mean, it's kind of that fruity. It's not hard. It's just kind of flowing. I think that kind of suits.
Flowing.
Yeah.
Once you get familiar with anything, I guess you can learn how to consume it and take that ride peacefully. But a lot of people try to. Beer makes me sleepy. And there's nothing wrong with that because I'll drink beer, but the rum is kind of slightly a little more brooding. It's a little more psychedelic, and you can just the coconut water. Not that I have any trouble drinking rum, but it also makes it you get the molasses in the rum and the creaminess of the coconut water. It turns it into the nectar of just sweet. Sweet, soft, and it's a good thing to drink when you're making a record.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And the record's good, too. It's it's not your debut record. You've released a few before this, right?
Yeah, I've done things, I don't know. I certainly don't want to call this my debut record because that'd be a lie. But, things I did before led me to where I am now. I was in two bands. Previously, sort of the first band. Well, if you want to talk like first real band, I guess, out of my folks' garage, being 12. Let's see, I started my first band when I was in high school. We did two EPs and played regionally. Then took a hiatus. We regrouped and got a friend of ours who actually cut the EPs that the first band did, and we started a band called Red Velvet, and we played. Again, regionally, and had a full-length album. And during the time of that, I really started I was the bass player in that band and the singer. So I really took the time to get back to playing piano, which that never really stopped, but playing piano for the intent of writing a completed tune, on guitar as well. I got really familiar with playing guitar comfortably and not just rhythm, but let's do more picking and leads and riffs. And then I started in December of 2008, I put out my first solo single of an A and a B. And then it just kind of went from there. I would cut as often as possible. I felt like there's no need to stop, really, because, if I stop, I'm not going to grow. And I just kept releasing, tunes, pocketful of tunes, a record here, an EP here, put out a single here, and not make a big deal about it because it's really, nothing to, to get too excited about. It's just my life and I love it. However, there came the time when I said, I think I'm ready to really, really try and do something that I know that I would have a good time listening to. Not that I didn't do that before, but now this record, it kind of feels like the first record, you know?
Maybe it feels like the first record because it's maybe after a certain growth period, and so it feels like it's more you than anything else was.
Oh, for sure. You know, it's not only growing musically, but in a personal way as well. I feel like everything that I've learned, and there was a period also of like 3 years where my life just kind of skyrocketed through the atmosphere of just like, well, like I said earlier, just unlearning everything, you know. Yeah, I unlearned so much, and suddenly you realize what was always there. And so I just did a lot of personal growth, or, you know, personal changes, and I knew that it was the time to really capture that that moment onto a record. And so, yeah, musical changes, personal changes in between that happening, you know, so quickly and so consistent throughout this, like, 3 year period of writing this record, I knew I wanted to get in and just capture it.
Now, you worked with Eddie Ashworth out of Ohio for this record. Now, I saw that you met him, like, what, about 2 years ago? How did this relationship come about?
Well, he was on my radar for the records that he had done for a few regional artists that I had known. And I was really looking for someone new to record with. I had tried working in one... I had done everything solo previously. I had done with a good friend of mine, whom I still love dearly. But, I wanted to switch up the sound. I wanted to get a little more... You know, let's not joke around. Let's drink some rum at 3 a.m. and get lost. And I tried cutting somewhere else. It didn't feel right. And so I really just had known Eddie, not personally, but from the records he had made. And I shot him an email, and he told me to come up to his house. We'd hang out. He cooked dinner. We ate, and we just discussed. I don't know, not music. Well, not my record, at least. We just talked about our favorite records, and that's really where it started, is when we were talking about our favorite records, and they all lined up so perfectly, and that's kind of when I knew that this is going to be a very good thing, and he as well.
And that's also, he enjoys the Beach Boys too, right?
He does, yeah. He was he grew up in California, Inglewood and Hawthorne area. Beach Boys are from Hawthorne, and he grew up in California and was there listening to the records that that I was listening to, you know, in my bedroom as a teenager. So it's so special that we can talk about these things. And he's also very, you know, current on what's happening with music today. So it doesn't sound, you get a lot of these, like, you know, hey, let's do a Beatles sound alike or a Beach Boys sound alike. And it's so cookie cutter, and it sounds so unimaginative, but I think he and I really tried to capture this. Well, yeah, we're influenced by this, but this isn't a tribute record in any way. This is original, and this is still what's happening right now. And we had a lot of fun. We really, really had a lot of fun. We started off, it's funny how we started off as strangers, and over the course of just one record, we're now, we're friends. Someone I've already gone to when I'm in, deep times of distress or deep times of joy, and we just hang out then, not even making records, we hang out. And how cool is that?
Yeah, the first time I met Eddie was in person. It was actually this past summer with the festival Left of the Dial music panel, and a very, very warm person, not physically warm, but actually very nice to be around. And it looks like he's doing a lot regionally. You're right. He's doing a lot for the regional music scene, too, with Quiet and yourself. And it's nice to have that, someone being able to contribute to the West Virginia music scene in that way.
Oh, it's so exciting because he has, he has a career that speaks for itself. And, but he really enjoys being in this part of the country now, you know. He enjoys the talent that he's finding, and yeah, my record, the record he released with Quiet, and they're working on one now. And then he's doing work with a lot of great bands from Ohio, good friends of ours, the Cordial Sins in Columbus, and there's new bands he's telling me you know, that are contacting him from hearing the records he's made. And it's exciting for me because I'm going to be doing my next record there, and we're talking about that. But listen, I'm a music fan, and I get to hear all these great bands that other people have not yet discovered, but soon will, and I get to hear their records being made. And it's so much fun hanging out with Eddie and at Eddie's place. It's so good. It's this rock and roll bed and breakfast, as he calls it.
That's adorable. Is there a name for it, or is there an actual name for it?
The Oxide Shed.
Okay.
But it's so true because we'll go up and we'll cut a tune and we'll work on it. And if we're getting a little distracted, just go down, turn on the Beatles, crack a beer, you know, cook up some vegan food. I'm a vegan, he isn't, but, you know, we'll cook up food and then we'll eat, we'll have a beer, you know, take a walk in the woods because it's in the middle of nowhere. Clear our minds and go back up, and then the solo turns out just fine.
Aww.
And if you've had, you know, if your mind's a bit worn out, you just go to bed, wake up, whatever you feel like it, and go do it again.
That's so cute. Oh, see, I haven't been there. And actually, I haven't been to the place in Huntington that I know a lot of bands are going to record. What is it? It's the one that Ono was working at recently. I think it's called The Loft, is where they're kind of making their headquarters. So I should just creep on you all during the recording process just to see how much fun you're having behind the scenes.
It is a lot of fun. I'd love to have anyone. I mean, I'd love to have anyone to come hang out.
And make vegan food and have some beer.
Yeah.
Maybe some coconut and rum.
The thing is, I love to entertain. It's not just in music, not just through singing and songwriting, but I love to entertain. I love to have folks over to my house. I love to cook for them. I love to provide for them. I love to make people feel well loved. And so, yeah, come hang out. I'll cook you some spicy vegan food. And then I'll get you loose on rum and we'll listen to the Beach Boys and dance.
It sounds like a good deal. All right. So one of the last questions I'll ask you is about your roots in the West Virginia music scene. I assume that you were born and raised in Huntington, or were you born and raised elsewhere?
No, I was born and raised in Huntington. I've spent a lot of time in Huntington. I've traveled and I've seen a lot of really beautiful places and beautiful people. And right now, it's great for me to be here. You know, I get to work with Eddie and I get to hang out with all my friends and my folks are here. And there's no reason at this point for me to go anywhere else. So, yeah, I live in Huntington and I've spent a lot of time here.
What differences have you seen in the music scene growing up there? Like, how has it grown over time?
In Huntington, you know, it seems like you can notice these gradual changes about, like, maybe every 4 or 5 years, you know, the bands that folks are familiar with and that are going out to see weekend after weekend either move or break up, and then these new bands come in and everyone, you know, the attention is directed there. And, you know, because I've been involved for so long, 2000 maybe, 99, you know, and this is, you know, I've been involved for so long that I've just seen the gradual changes, and it's cool. So I get to see a lot of great bands. I get to make a lot of friends in bands, and it's a fun thing. Right now, however, I think it's really solid all around the state because it's not just, hey, we're going to start a band, you know, we're going to play shows and have fun, party, break up. I'm seeing a lot of my friends you know, moving, like my friends in Coyotes and Boxes have moved to Nashville and are giving it a solid heave-ho. And a lot of good friends just really seem to be utilizing their talents I'm learning how to do it, you know, in a far more beneficial to the brand, you know, sort of thing. So we can do this when we're 50 and still say, isn't this fun?
Is excluding yourself, is there a yeah, you're going to exclude yourself for the moment.
Okay.
Excluding yourself, what would you think is the next West Virginia band that people should know about?
Oh, my gosh. Let me think about this. There's nothing wrong with mentioning what everyone else is talking about, you know, because there's a list of bands that everyone knows about, like Ona and Coyotes and Boxes, and you know, there's so many bands that are doing so many great things, but who right now really makes me feel this so excited.
It could be someone from HMAF that you've seen over the years. It could be just someone that you know is maybe recording new material that you're very excited about. It could be someone that's just had a lot of things out there and they're consistently good. They just haven't gotten a lot of press for it.
Well, there's a friend of mine in town here. You know, I may do soft rock, but I love to dance. And there's a friend of mine in town whose name is Jesse Clark. And he will do these events once a month where he will DJ, but he also is a producer as well and does his own original compositions and remixes of house music. And, you know, it's got that nice 70s Soul Train kind of feel. And his name is Jesse Clark. The event is Grown-Ass Folks. And he and I are really good friends, but we met just from me being a fan and showing up to these events. Like, he's been doing this for a long time and showing up 10 years ago and just being the only one on the floor dancing, being the first one before everyone gets started and staying till the end of the night, just keep dancing. And then we became friends, and now we hang out. And I just go to when he DJs, and it's so much fun. So there's something that I don't think a lot of people are talking about that is still a viable art. It's remixing, it's producing, it's, the turntable DJing, and it's fun. It's very, very hip and groovy and disco and house, and it's so much fun. It gives you a reason to smile and just get lost in a beautiful moment.
See, I guess I was expecting more of like a singer-songwriter or a band, but it's interesting you bring up the DJ. That's one thing I haven't really done with my show, is talking about like the West Virginia DJs, just the ones that are able to mix and mash and create these interesting sounds all by their lonesome. So that's interesting. What's his name again?
Jesse Clark. Just remember Grown-Ass Folks. You know, it is, we have this idea, a lot of musicians maybe, of DJs, not being musicians, and I'm not here to talk about that. But and a lot of DJs, you know, like the turntable DJs, who still bring out vinyl and still dig for that great sample and go into their own studio and just produce with their own keyboards and their own percussive instruments and just build these grooves, you know. And I don't know, it's pop music to me. The whole world is just one big pop song that I'm watching being written and just happy to be participating in. And I don't know, it's a lot of fun. I love to dance, and he sure as hell makes me dance.
I can agree with that. I'm usually one for just like bobbing my head or like doing some weird hand motions for dancing, like even when there's not a song on. So I can totally get behind you there. All right, so let's talk a little bit more about your new record. So The Only Way Out Is In. Is there a song in the record that you think just embodies what you're trying to create?
Yeah. If there was just one tune, I don't know. What am I trying to create? I'm trying to create an atmosphere of love. I know that sounds so, it's what I want to do, maybe the first tune is a great example, Ghost by the Water, the opening cut on the record. However, you know, we have the single out, White Light, which I think is just I'm very fortunate to have this tune. I think we really exhausted a lot of possibilities in song arrangement with this tune. And then something like It Is What It Is. It's not at all like a singer-songwriter tune, but I wrote it on the piano, and I can play it out live as such, but you get in the studio, and you can create these danceable atmospheres that are somewhat tropical and somewhat... lost at sea. So there's a lot to the record. It's diverse, I think, very diverse, and it's there's a consistent element to it as well, sonically, lyrically, emotionally, and I'm very, very happy.
Is there anything else, anything that listeners may not know about you, but they should know?
I met Brian Wilson once, and he gave me a hug.
Oh.
Yeah, thank you.
Was that recently, or was that like years and years ago?
2011.
Okay, so that was before The Doc then came out, with the one that the John Cusack.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great movie.
Yeah. No, it was pretty good. They did a decent job with it. Brian, not John, but Brian performed at a conference I was at this past April up in Philly. And I wasn't able to see him at it because I was leaving town like right when he was performing. But it sounded like that was just the key note of the conference, is that he was singing all these classic Beach Boys songs and everyone was crying and singing, and just it was just a big old Beach Boys love fest. And that's nice. That's nice to see that he was able to bring some of that oldie goodness back into the music forefront.
Well, he's got a new record out too, you know. For yeah. Anyone that he thought wouldn't survive, you know, it's just a beautiful thing, you know, that he's still making music, and you know, and that's great. So, I look to him, you know, as a big inspiration musically and personally.
Now, I'll end this interview with one last question. And it has to do with a comment I made at HMAF. And I don't know if you remember this, but when I introduced you on stage at the Huntington Music and Arts Festival this year, I said that you were West Virginia's premier David Grohl lookalike. Do you agree with that estimate? What are your thoughts on your beard and the way that it may match the Foo Fighters frontman?
I did have a drink with Taylor Hawkins in L.A. Earlier this year, which was fun, but that was just a by chance sort of thing. And he never mentioned I looked like Dave Grohl, but everyone else everywhere at all moments seemed to think so. So I just kind of, you know, I can't go into a gas station and buy strawberry gum without someone saying, hey, it's Dave Grohl, it's Dave Grohl, it's Dave Grohl, it's Dave Grohl. So I'm okay with it, I guess, you know. Sure, my beard's fine. I like it. It keeps me warm in the winter, and in the summer it's a you know, it's nice to look like you just woke up from 5 years on an island. So, why not?
Mountains rise up from the rivers in West Virginia. And someday, someway, somewhere we all must die.
Jordan Andrew Jefferson released his new full length, The Only Way Out Is In, this past November. You can keep up with Jordan, his music, and his tour dates on whoisjordan.com. To hear more of his music, tune in to A Change of Tune, airing Saturdays at 10 p.m. Eastern on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. I'm Joni Deutsch. Thanks for listening. I'm getting high with my